Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to this sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world.
All right, won't you turn with me to Psalm 66? And I can see in the faces like, what's going on? Why aren't we singing more? It will be evident in just a second. Alright, Psalm 66. And as I have the opportunity to preach today, I wanted to still stick to the Psalms, as Pastor Charles has been going through the Psalms, and they're so great. And I pray that the Lord will speak to us as we go through this Psalm. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Give to Him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. All the earth worships you. They sing praises to you. They sing praises to your name. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in His deeds toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in Him, who rules by His might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of His praise be heard, who has kept our soul among the living, and has not let our feet sleep. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. Yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will perform my vows to you, that which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I will offer to you burnt offerings of fattened animals with the smoke of sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell what He has done for my soul. I cried to Him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because He has not rejected my prayer or removed His steadfast love from me. O Lord, I pray that You will speak to us, Lord, that You will help me, and that You will help us to be attentive to what You are saying to us this morning. I pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. I remember in 2019, in January, I got a call from Pastor Charles, and he tells me, "Hi Isaac, we are considering calling another pastor, and one of the responsibilities is helping the pastorate at the Hill Campus, but also we need some help in the area of worship." And I remember just like when I heard that word worship, I'm like, oh, and so. Part of my role since coming to Central is to help us to sing. And I generally facilitate that from the guitar. But today I want to maybe make a couple of theological points for you to be singing, not just in a congregational aspect, but even individually, at home. And so, to start, I want to ask the question, who should praise, who should be singing. And in the first few verses, we see there's a call to worship to all the peoples. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Again, in verse 4, all the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name. Who must praise the Lord? All the earth. And there is an invitation for people from everywhere to sing praises to God. And this does point for us an awareness of beyond our bubble, beyond just Central, beyond just Pretoria, there needs to be a realization that it is God's desire for the nations to worship Him. There is a correlation, a link somehow with missions. That it is not just me and just here, what God is doing here in my life, just here in our church. But no. Let all the earth, let all the peoples praise Him. There is a macro call to worship God, to sing praises to His name. And it's important for us to be aware of that, so that we don't just think of just us, and just ourselves, and just our style, but all the peoples of the earth. In Revelation 5, verse 9 and 10, because that is the culmination of where everything is going. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." See, that's what it is going. That's where it's going. All the peoples of the earth singing praise to God. And it is such a joy to... Sometimes we have glimpses of that. I mean, we had, the celebration of Pastor Charles' 25th anniversary. Man, the singing was amazing. I'd sing last year and the year before. And just hearing God's people from different backgrounds. But even beyond just Pretoria, all around, let the people sing praises to God. Matthew Henry says, "Here's a call to all people to praise God. Make a joyful noise unto God, all your lands. Not only Israel, but all the earth must praise Him." And so here is not just Israel praising God for what God has done for them, but it's a call for people everywhere to sing praises to the Lord. But why do we praise Him? Why should we praise Him? And there are two reasons I want to highlight throughout. And it was, even as I was trying to make the slides, I'm like, I don't know how, because they're so intertwined. So basically, there are two main reasons why God must be praised: for who He is and for what He has done. And these two reasons appear throughout this psalm. So we see in verse 2, sing the glory of His name. And then in verse 5, it says, come and see what God has done. He's awesome in His deeds toward the children of men. So worship truly starts with God. It is as He is beheld, as God is seen for all His greatness and attributes. And here the psalmist mentions His power, His might. And as we behold that, as we look to God and how awesome He is, then we respond in worship. It is not that worship starts with us. Worship is a response to who God is. And so that's why we're actually going to be singing later. You know, behold our God, seated on His throne, come, let us adore Him. It is as we look to who He is that we worship. But not only to who He is and to all His attributes, but because of what He has done. Now here we clearly can see that the context points to them reflecting on God's salvation to Israel as they crossed the Red Sea. We see that in verse 6, He turned the sea into the dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in Him. And I've said this before, and it has really become a kind of a thing that I constantly repeat and I tell people. But gratitude leads to worship. As you reflect on what God has done, it makes you want to worship Him. See, as the people of Israel look back, and maybe some of them have heard from the parents and the grandparents, like, oh my child, we were there, and there was this sea in front of us, and the Egyptians were right behind us, and we were like, what is going to happen to us? We're going to die here. Why did we leave Egypt? They're going to come and kill us all. What is going to happen? And my child, we saw this amazing thing. God parted the Red Sea, and we walked through dry land. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. As they reflected on what God had done, they worshipped. So as the people of Israel in community looked back at what God had done in helping them to cross the Red Sea, they worshipped. Again, verse 7 speaks about God's power, whose eyes keep watch on all the nations. It's speaking about God's sovereignty. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Verse 8, bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of His praise be heard. Again, pointing to who God is, to His mighty power. In overseeing all the nations. Verse 9, back to deeds again. He goes and says, who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip. Praising God for His preservation. He goes on to say, for You, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. Isn't it interesting here? They attribute the testing to God. The Lord have tested us. And You have tested us and You have tried us as silver is tried. So I went to look, how is silver tried? So the process of refining silver involves an intense heating process that melts the required minerals into a liquid, and in that liquid state the incompatible impurities flow to the top, and this can be referred to as a slag or dross, and at that point the impurities are removed and the silver metal below is left purer than before the process began. If necessary, this process is repeating again and again in order to achieve a satisfactory level of purity for its intended purpose. So it is God putting you through fire over and over again to refine you. Psalm 12 verse 6 says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in a furnace on the ground, purified seven times." And this is a reminder for us that God will sometimes put us through trials. He's going to test us. And unlike other psalms, at least in this psalm, there's no evidence of sin. There are other psalms that point, hey, I've sinned, that's why God's heavy hand is upon me. But in this psalm, there is no reference to that. In fact, there is evidence to the contrary. In verse 18, says, "If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened." So it seems that the psalmist says, the Lord's heavy hand was upon me, upon us, and there was no sin involved. Look there, in verse 11 he continues, "You brought us into the net, you laid a crushing burden on our backs, you let men ride over our heads, we went through fire and through water." This warning, "went through fire and through water," is pointing to we were tested in all kinds of ways. And these brothers and sisters points out that God in His sovereign wisdom will sometimes put us through very difficult patches. Spurgeon says, "Trials and afflictions, when they have done their work, leave us richer in experience, stronger in faith, more earnest in devotion, and more assured in hope." See, there is a purpose in the trial. There is a purpose. God put us through things, put us through fire. But He has a purpose. It is a purification purpose. There are purposes that we don't know, that maybe we will find out years later. But recognizing that God does that should help us not to be shocked when it does happen. I want you to notice two things. We see that all this language is in the plural. The Lord is testing not just an individual, but He's testing His people. And I think it is important for us to remember that, because even in the context of a church, we as His people may go sometimes through trials and difficulties. But then, verse 12, it says, "Yet you have brought us out of a place of abundance." It is the Lord who brings us out of a place of trial to a place of abundance. Now, the scholars debate whether this is referring to the conquest of Canaan. Some say that it is the return of from exile, but the point that it's clearly made by the psalmist here, it is that it is not the people themselves who triumphantly conquer out of trials. It is the Lord who removes you and takes you out to a place of abundance. And you and I have to remember this, because what tends to happen is when we are going through trials and difficulties, our tendency is to say, "God, you have abandoned me. So I don't feel like praying right now. I don't feel like coming to you. And my reminder for us this morning is, you have to go to Him because He is the one that brings you out. It is not you by your own strength. It's not us that by our own strength are going to somehow just turn the situations around. No, it is the Lord who takes us to a place of abundance. So you have to run to Him. And isn't this true? Even experientially, as you look back, and maybe you've gone through a season where you're like, I don't know how I'm going to pay the bills. I don't know how I'm going to get a new job. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this difficult situation. And then as you look back, you realize, that was the Lord. How am I here today? That was the Lord. The Lord brought me out of this circumstances. They were, and sometimes God is so amazing that He just brings a solution out of nowhere. You didn't even think about that, and the Lord comes and intervenes and takes you out of that situation. And as you look back, you're like, that wasn't me. It could have only been the Lord. But now something very interesting happens in this psalm. From verse 1 to 12, there is a communal experience of worship and a call to worship and reflecting on the deeds. But if you notice in verse 13, there is a switch. It goes from plural to singular. From community worship to individual worship. And look at verse 13. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will perform my vows to you. And he goes on to mention, you know, the offerings that he's going to bring, bulls and goats. But notice this. I will come into your house with burnt offering. Where is he worshiping? This is an individual worship. But where is he worshiping? Where is he coming to worship? He's coming to a setting of communal worship. And I want to pause here and point out that he is coming and saying, I'm going to bring my offering to you. And my question for us is, as you come into his house, into a setting like this on a Sunday, what are you bringing? What are you bringing? How are you coming? Are you as an individual coming, bringing something to God? How are you coming on a Sunday morning? What offering are you bringing? Are you coming as a judge? Maybe, well, let me see what it is say today. Let's see if Pastor Charles gets it right today. Let's see how loud the music is today. Are you coming just as an spectator? Well, I'm just coming to church and I'm going to just watch what happens. Let's just watch what's going on. Are you coming just because it's your routine on a Sunday? This is just what you do. Or are you coming as an individual to worship your Savior, your Redeemer, Jesus Christ? Are you bringing something to Him? Are you bringing an offering of praise to Him who has done marvelous things? Yes, for us, but He has done marvelous things for you and me. And I have the privilege of often facilitating the worship in song. And it is great to be from the front seeing when individual faces I can see doing business with God, worshiping God. And I am not advocating for an individualistic worship that just forgets that they are in community. No, no. We come and we worship in community. But I'm saying that you as an individual need to bring your personal worship to God. Come to His house and worship Him. Verse 14 says, "That which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble, I will offer to you burnt offerings of fattened animals, with smoke and sacrifice of rams, and I'll make an offering of bulls and goats." I just love verse 14. "That which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble." This is so us. This is so human. Isn't it? Because when we're in trouble, we make promises. We're like, "Oh, Lord, if you take me out of this, I promise you I'm going to do this and this and that." And it is natural. And what He's saying here, "I'm going to fulfill that which I've promised." Because we do promise. We do make promises. "Oh, if you do take me out of this, I'm going to do this." So remember to fulfill your promise. Verse 16, "Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell what He has done for my soul." Here's another, and the Hebrew there implies what He has done for my life. So praise Him for His redemption. What God has done for your life. What God has done in saving you. Brothers and sisters, we have a great reason to sing. Because He has saved you. Jesus Christ has paid for our sins. He paid for all my sins, past, present, and future. I stand uncondemned before the Father because of what Christ has done. I'm no longer going to hell. There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. So there's a big reason for us to sing. So we should be on a Sunday morning really singing our hearts out, because He has done great and marvelous things for us. He has saved us. You know what is the number one theme for popular song, for the most popular songs? The number one theme is heartbreak. You don't need a heartbreak for you to sing. You have a much better reason to sing. We have a much better reason to sing. Praise God for His redemption. Lastly, I want to point out what I see as almost a formula for us to have constantly in our lives, whether in good times or in bad times. In verse 17, "I cried to Him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue." Prayer and praise. I chose this picture because it looks like Miriam and Engeli are praying, and then Zepha and Numpundo are singing. But this combination of prayer and praise. This is what verse 17 is talking about. On the one hand, I cried to Him with my mouth. I was crying out. One commentator puts it like this: crying designs prayer and supposes distress. And crying with the mouth denotes vocal, ardent, and fervent prayer. Ah, brothers, we need to be louder in the sense of articulate fervently your prayer. Cry out to God when you're in distress. Cry out to Him. Words have meaning. I think that God intended to say cry out and not whisper. Cry out. Call out to Him. And so it seems here that even as trial comes, you cry out to Him. And at the same time, verse 17, and high praise was on my tongue. Again, the same commentator says, and he was extolled with my tongue. At the same time, the psalmist prayed for deliverance out of his distresses. He praised God for the mercies he had received. Prayer, fervent prayer, crying out, and at the same time, worship, sing. And this is not unprecedented. Let me read the passage you know from Acts 16, Paul and Silas, they in jail. And in verse 25 says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were, listen to this, praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bonds were unfastened. I remember a pastor preaching, and he painted this picture, imagining that, you know, maybe Gabriel was up there in heaven. All right, angels, are we ready? We practiced for hundreds of years now to sing God this hymn. Are you ready, angels? And God is there waiting. And then as they start, Paul and Silas start singing. And then God says, wait, Gabriel, I hear something. Let me go hear from closer. And as God comes down, there is this big earthquake that happens. And all the jails are open because God listened to the praise of these two men. Prayer and praise. In times of difficulty and in times of good, pray and praise. And I really believe that this is not a coincidence. I was talking to someone this week about how we were sharing how sometimes our repentance doesn't feel real. You're saying I'm sorry, but it's like just from the lips outward. And I said to him, look, sometimes as I'm praying and as I'm, I put a song, it helps me to get there slightly faster. And I'm not saying this is like, oh, this is doesn't happen always, but sometimes that as a song is saying and we're saying, it can be a song that you've heard a thousand times, but then God uses it and it hits you and you're crying your eyes out, and suddenly true repentance comes about. And so I want to encourage you to not just pray. I know that in times of trouble maybe you pray, but are you singing? Are you praising? Sing beyond the Sunday morning. Sing beyond the shower. Sing and praise Him for who He is and what He has done. And just He ends with verse 20, blessed be God because He has not rejected my prayer or removed His steadfast love from me. Come to Him. He has not rejected your prayer. You may feel abandoned sometimes or rejected or not loved, but as you look to the cross, you are reminded He does love you. Jesus loves you, so come to Him. So are you in a good season? Praise Him. Are you in a bad season? Praise Him. So I'm going to pray now, and we're going to respond in worship. But we're going to do what I've just instructed us to do. We're going to pray. And so while Chido does a solo song, we're going to spend some time praying and just listen to that as we go along. And after that, we're going to respond in singing. All right, so let's pray. Lord, we want to thank You for who You are. Great, powerful, mighty, merciful, sovereign, good, gracious. We want to worship You for all that You are. And we want to worship You for what You have done as a community, what You have done at Central through in this church, 130 years of Your preserving grace in this church, and what You have done in our lives as individuals, oh God. And so we want to respond in prayer, and we want to respond in praise for all that You have done for us, Lord. And so even help us now as we listen to this song and as we come to You in prayer, and even later on as we worship You in singing. Would You help us in the precious name of Jesus? Amen. Amen.
I was sure by now, God, You would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in to save the day. But once again, I'll say amen, and it's still raining. As the thunder rolls, I barely hear You whisper through the rain, I am with You. And as Your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. I'll praise You in the storm, and I will lift my hands, for You are who You are, no matter every tear I've cried, You hold in Your hand. You never left my side. And though my heart is torn, I will praise You in this storm.
I remember when I stumbled in the wind, You heard my cry, You raised me up again. My strength is almost gone, how can I carry on if I can't find You? And as the thunder rolls, I barely hear You whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in the storm, and I will lift my hands. You are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hand. You've never left my side, and though my heart is torn, I will praise you in the storm.
I lift my eyes unto the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
I lift my eyes unto the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord,
maker of heaven and earth. I'll praise you in the storm.
I'll praise you in the storm, and I will lift my hands. You are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hand. You've never left my side, and though my heart is torn, I will praise you in the storm. And though my heart is torn, I will praise you in the storm. Please
will you stand as we continue singing songs of praises to God.
Times of loss and loneliness, so rich. My strength is found.
sinful man. God eternal, the most in the grave, Jesus Savior, risen now to reign. Behold our God, seated on His throne. Come, let us adore Him. Behold our King, nothing can compare. Come, let us adore Him.
Every Sunday like this. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. To the choir master with string instruments. God bless. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.